This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely. His most recent book is Blood for Our Future, and he's head of Stand Up America. We want to get his thoughts today as thousands more U.S. troops head for the war zone in Afghanistan. But many believe one of their greatest enemies right now is not just the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but also the really restrictive rules of engagement that are being forced upon our soldiers as they try to deal with an enemy that likes to embed itself among the population. And, General, thanks so much for your time today.
Greg, always a pleasure.
Well, I think most Americans probably don't know exactly what the rules of engagement usually are, but we're seeing things here like you have to announce that you're going to search through a city, you have to have Afghan troops with you, you can't do it at night, only women can search women, even to the point where people laying out improvised explosive devices, if they're walking away from where the IED is, you can't shoot at them. What's going on here?
Well, evidently, General McChrystal and the powers to be in Afghanistan have signed an agreement with President Karzai of Afghanistan, what they call the Karzai 12 Rules of Engagement. The restrictiveness of this is just beyond ridiculous. And it's basically an agreement where you have our U.S. troops that are battling both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and their own rules.
How is the enemy taking advantage of this?
Well, of course, just like, you know, exposing our strategy or our tactics, that they publicize this, and you've hit a few of them. But let me just go down them real quick.
Sure.
These new rules, which restrict our forces from achieving victory and basically make our forces very vulnerable. The compilation includes no night or surprise searches. Well, that's what tactical surprise is all about. You've got to be able to surprise them and take them down. So this is absolutely contrary to all tactical training, particularly for our air and our infantry. Our tank forces, convoys, whatever, if you can't conduct night or surprise searches, that's when you really want to get the enemy. And when I was in Vietnam, that's what we primarily did, were night searches. The next one is villagers have to be warned prior to searches. Well, guess where the Taliban live at night? In the villages. The Afghan National Army must accompany U.S. units on searches. Well, we know some of those forces are paid by the Taliban. They're corrupted, so that one doesn't work. U.S. soldiers may not fire at the enemy unless the enemy is preparing to fire first. I mean, is this crazy? U.S. forces cannot engage the enemy if civilians are present. There's civilians all over the battle area over there. And the civilians even dress up as Taliban and hide weapons under their garments, as well as the women. Only women can search women. So here you may have in a village a group of women walking up that could be suicide bombers, murderers, and they'll come up and blow our troops up, and it's happened. The other one is troops can fire at an insurgent. And these aren't even insurgents, by the way. This whole thing about counterinsurgency, I think, is a myth. Troops can fire an insurgent if they catch him placing an IED, an improvised explosive device, but not if insurgents are walking away from an area where the explosives have been laid. So here's, you know, the Taliban can go in, lay these things down, and if they're walking away after we've actually seen them, we still can't engage them. I mean, this has gone astray. So that's why I'm very chagrined and upset with this plus up of 30,000, because we send more over there to get blown up, put rules of engagement. See, my belief is, when I was taught at West Point in the War College, is you put the commander's guidance in an operational order, whether it's a battalion or a brigade, and if the commander wants to put any limitations in, he does it there on the ground because he knows it the best. But we've involved the judge advocates, the lawyers, to write these rules of engagements for our troops. And the best thing the four-star admiral can do over there, Admiral Mullen at JCS and General McChrystal in charge, do away with every rule of engagement. Let the commanders, who are well-trained and taught, engage the enemy on the battlefield as they see fit to achieve victory.
General, the idea here, of course, is that the Karzai government's been upset with the number of civilian casualties. Number one, do you feel that that is justified? And B, if we are going to try and do that, what are some more common sense ways to try and reduce those casualties?
Again, you go back to the field order that the battalion, company, brigade commanders issue when they engage in a particular area. They're trained very well to preclude civilian casualties when possible. Our troops are all trained to do that. And that's part of the enemy's deal. They understand they can mingle with the civilians, occupy their homes, operate their command and control, their intelligence, their operations. So that's all been validated by our troops. So that's part of it. And that's why, again, Grabian, so against, you can't nation build if there's not a secure and peaceful neutralized area, just the way we had to do in Germany and Japan. Once the peace is gathered and the area is secure, then you can nation build. But try to nation build and force our troops to do nation building is absolutely ridiculous.
What are you hearing from those in the theater who have just returned from the theater about how this is affecting their ability to do their job?
Oh, the feedback is tremendous. I just had a great a communique from a command sergeant major in the Marine Corps this morning, and I talked to a Marine colonel whose son was killed this year in Afghanistan by an IED, and the troops are tremendously upset that our commanders have put them in a position like this. Of course, they're so well trained, they salute, they do what they have to do, but our commanders have to take charge of the battlefield. And we've got to either win this war and have a strategy to do it, or let's get the hell out and come back home.
Is this a commander issue or a political issue?
Both.
And what's the solution? How does this start to get back
to
where it should be? The
generals and admirals have to stand up and be counted, as well as the colonels, and say, we're not going to take this anymore, we're not going to do this, and we're willing to resign if that's what it takes. But we can't have these political policy wonks in Washington making these kinds of forced decisions on the military, and where most of them have never served in combat. And if you look at most of the administration, even under Bush or under Barack Obama, totally ignorant of strategy and how you achieve victory under the guise and under the wisdom of great generals like MacArthur, like Patton, Admiral Halsey, General Pershing. You know, you go and study all the great commanders of history. They would turn over in their graves looking at how we're fighting these wars. So there's a different strategy that's required. This is an unconventional war, not a conventional war, and the use and expansion of big bases is not the way to do it. We should have learned this in Vietnam, Greg.
Well, General, an extremely disturbing trend, and let's hope that bringing some attention to it will make some of those changes a reality. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely, head of Stand Up America's most recent book is Blood for Our Future. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.